My name is J.P. Kennedy, the United States Attorney for the Western District of New York, and I'm here today to announce a historic verdict. Today, a federal jury returned the first ever verdict convicting an individual of distributing fentanyl, which resulted in death. For this conviction, Mr. Dontrell Wise, age 32, of Buffalo, New York, will face a mandatory sentence of life imprisonment. The facts surrounding this case involve Mr. Wise's distribution of fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, and cocaine base between November of 2017 and November 23rd, 17. In particular, the jury, in convicting the defendant of the three counts with which he was charged, determined that the fentanyl that Mr. Wise distributed resulted in the death of a 28-year-old woman from Cheektowaga, who was referred to as AJ, on November 24th, 2017. So, really a significant verdict, and one which I hope will send a message. I want to commend the tremendous efforts of the FBI, the DEA, the Buffalo Police Department, and the Cheektowaga Police Department. The victim in this case was discovered inside a premises in Cheektowaga, New York, and credit to the Cheektowaga Police Department for treating that overdose scene as a crime scene. As a result of their tremendous efforts, we were able to gather evidence which was sufficient to link the drugs which caused the death of this victim to the defendant. And it was for that reason, along with the tremendous efforts of the trial team in this case, who included our Assistant United States Attorney Michael Adler to my left and Brendan Cullinan to my right, that we were able to reach this verdict. So, I think it's very fitting as we sort of begin the holiday season. There's going to be a number of families gathering for Thanksgiving and other holidays to follow that are going to have an empty chair at the table. And I think that we oftentimes forget the real impact that people that put their own financial interests in selling drugs have, and the impact that that has on our community and on families in our community. And while we can't do anything to bring back this victim, we can ensure that Mr. Wise will not his actions will not result in any more empty chairs at any Thanksgiving tables here in Western New York. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Special Agent in Charge of the FBI, Gary Loafert. I'm also joined up here with Deputy Commissioner Joe Grimalia from the Buffalo Police Department, who will say a few words as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Good afternoon, everyone. In 2017, there were 72,000 overdose deaths in the United States. 30,000 were attributable to fentanyl. In Erie County, in 2017, we saw 251 overdose deaths. We're not here to talk about anything new, unfortunately. We are in the middle of an opioid crisis. What you're highlighting is attributing this death to the Black Soprano family, a gang operating in Buffalo. These investigations are hard to link back to the suppliers. Through the hard work of the Safe Streets Task Force, DEA, Cheektowaga Police Department, and the Buffalo Police Department, and the United States Attorney's Office, a jury confirmed that the Black Soprano family was responsible for this death due to fentanyl. Juries speak for the community, and the message is clear. This community is not going to tolerate illegal opioids flooding our community. Thank you. Deputy Commissioner?
Thank you. Investigations like this are extremely important on two different aspects. It puts someone away for life who has contributed to the death of this individual and many more. The sale of opioids contributes to many deaths. We concentrate as a group effort on treatment for victims, on treatment for people addicted to opioids, and we are seeing progress, but we also are concentrating very heavily on the investigations and putting people away who are selling the opioids to our addicted citizens. So it's very important. It's very very good work that that the officers and agents and everybody are doing on this investigation. So We commend them for their hard work. Investigations like this start at the base level with patrol officers. Our patrol officers did some significant work and were very good on their documentation and working with our federal partners, and we got a successful conclusion to this case. So we commend everybody on all ends so we can continue to make the progress that we're making. Thank you.
I also want to make the point, too, and I've said this before, obviously we cannot prosecute our way out of this opiate problem, but we have adopted within the Department of Justice and here in Erie County with the Opiate Task Force sort of a three-legged stool, if you will, as a means to approach this problem through enforcement, prevention, and treatment. And obviously, those of us in the law enforcement community, enforcement is sort of our bailiwick, and that's what we specialize in. And I can't think of a stronger enforcement action than locking somebody up for the rest of their lives for distributing fentanyl and this poison in our community. And we've been very progressive in the manner in which we've charged these cases, aggressive, some might say, but I think fittingly so, because lives are literally at stake. And I'm happy to report, and I think this is known to many in this room, that Erie County is sort of an anomaly across the United States, and that we have seen a reduction in the number of overdose deaths due to opiates during the last year, and actually during the last 2 years. So we're moving in the right direction. We're still not there yet. We still have more work to do, but this is part, at least one-third, if you will, of the solution to the problem of opiates is strong law enforcement presence through the manner in which we've charged these cases and brought these cases. And I think today's verdict is a ringing endorsement of the efforts of so many hardworking men and women in law enforcement and in our office. So I want to commend them and thank them, and we will continue this fight until we are able to really mitigate the risk caused by these dangerous drugs. And with that, if you have any questions.
Once you got one guy, but you just said that this gang is bad, evil, you've got all the things that gangs are. Mm-hmm. Does one guy make a difference?
Well, one guy convicted at this trial. There were other convictions which preceded this trial, and I'll defer to the trial team to let you know who those individuals were, but they were also members of the same gang.
Sure. My name is Michael Adler. I'm one of the two assistant U.S. attorneys who prosecuted the case. And yes, there were two prior convictions on this same indictment. Previously, Jarrell Weathersby and Lamario Jones both pled guilty to distribution of drugs under this indictment. Both, in one case, Jarrell Weathersby was butyryl fentanyl possession with intent to distribute butyryl fentanyl. And he was arrested with approximately 5 grams of butyryl fentanyl. And Lamario Jones also pled guilty to the distribution of controlled substances. Specifically, there was sales of heroin and heroin-like substances that he was convicted of and pled guilty to having sold.
So just to clear, three convictions.
Yes.
Is there any others pending?
There are other pending indictments currently that this office does have for other members of the same organization. But those are the only convictions so far. This was the first indictment as far as identified members of this particular gang.
What's their neighborhood?
It's around the it's around the Newburgh, Delavan area. It spans. It's a broader scope than that. But at trial, we actually heard some testimony about that particular area being a hot spot for this particular organization. Yes, and I mean those are that's the general street area that we heard about at trial.
All three defendants you mentioned, Michael, were members of the gang, of black supremacy.
Yes, they were.
Who you are?
Yes.
Are these cases hard to try? Like, why was this the first one, even though it's a bad problem for you?
Well, I mean. Easy for me to say. I mean, obviously, they are very difficult to try, and it's because of the tremendous efforts by AUSA Adler and AUSA Cullinan and others in our office, I think that we were successful. But the reason it's hard because we have to prove that it was the drugs that this defendant distributed that resulted in the death of that person who was found in a room in Cheektowaga. And it takes a lot of work. It takes working with the medical examiner's office. It takes working with toxicologists. And frankly, about a year and a half or so ago, there was a push to get local law enforcement to start treating these overdose scenes as homicide sites. And I think today's verdict demonstrates sort of the fruits of that labor of trying to change the manner in which when first responders arrive at an overdose scene, how they treat the scene, to treat it, to collect evidence, to maintain the integrity of the scene. Oftentimes, you know, historically, it had just been, you know, they'd sort of move everything and get fingerprints and other, you know, potential forensic evidence that might be available, you know, sort of out of the way just to deal with what was a very tragic situation of an overdose. But now, sort of with this increased awareness, I think that we're starting to see that we're able to build the cases that we need to be able to prove that the death resulted from these distributions. So really hats off to, as has been said many times, but hats off to the Cheektowaga Police Department. Buffalo Police Department conducted the first sort of traffic stop in this case that got us on to this group, and we took it away from there. So, I mean, really, I think that we have had other convictions under this statute upon guilty pleas, but this is the first case in Western New York to go to trial on this statute. So we're very pleased. There's others in the pipeline, and we're going to continue to prosecute these individuals to the fullest extent of the law.
This is going to be very hard to prove that this particular batch of fentanyl from some illegal lab in China is the same that this guy is selling and that this person dying.
It is, but packaging and other materials that are found and packaging that can be traced back to individual defendants and things like that, you know, other evidence that was presented at trial, we're able to establish that the drugs that result in this young woman's death were provided originally by the defendant, Mr. Wise. It does. I mean, it was obviously sort of the first time down any path is often the most difficult. And that's why I really want to commend the tremendous efforts by the AUSAs that handled this case under the supervision of their supervisor, Mr. Lynch, Timothy Lynch. Really, it's a groundbreaking case. And, you know, you don't have a playbook at this point. And so these guys had to write the playbook, and they did a terrific job doing that, working with our law enforcement partners. I don't know whether there's been any in New York State. I think there has been a couple across the country, but certainly not more than a handful. And this is, I mean, this is cutting-edge stuff and cutting-edge prosecutions. And, you know, I'm happy that we here in the Western District of New York that are sort of the outlier, if you will, in terms of this opioid crisis and being ahead of the curve a little bit in terms of driving down the number of deaths. I think part of the reason is because we are willing to sort of go out there and be aggressive in the manner in which these cases are charged. Of course. If he doesn't want to.
Where it was, you know, the guys in the burbs who did the work out there, and get your guys, all your officers, to understand how important it is to do what was done in this case in terms of treating it as a crime scene and all of this stuff. You bring them in all the time for training in one sort or another.
Well, we can share with you that we treat every death scene as though it's a homicide until it is proven otherwise. We've honed that down many years ago. The way we conduct the initial call, the initial arriving officers, to preserving the scene, everything is done the same way every scene, every time. We've been doing this for years with the overdoses. Obviously, this became a problem several years ago. We recognized that, and we made sure that those scenes, again, were handled the way that any homicide scene would be, whether it's, you know, a shooting or an unattended death. They're all treated the same way. Our detectives respond, our crime scene investigation unit responds, and every scene is processed. And these investigations are successful because of the crime scene handling and the crime scene collection, and that's just the start. And then you have to get into the lab work, you have to get into the medical examiner, and then finally it goes off to, you know, to the attorneys and getting, whether it be the DA's office or the U.S. Attorney's office involved, and you get them involved early. And, you know, dealing with other jurisdictions, we collaborate with our partners all the time, whether it be the, you know, the suburban jurisdictions, you know, county, state, federal, whoever. If you don't get together and talk, you don't get together and reference notes, then you're operating in silos and you're not getting anywhere.
Well,
for DP. He's why is he looking at this is a mandatory life sentence.
Yes, in view of his prior felony conviction for drug trafficking and the statute itself, which provides for a 20-year mandatory minimum maximum of life, we file that sentencing enhancement, which was filed prior to the trial in this case. He is now facing a mandatory sentence of life imprisonment.
Tell me why that's going.
Because he took someone else's life. An eye for an eye. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.